And now for something very, very wrong. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, let's see, in football yesterday, well, Falcons lost and the Bears won, Jets won. What's that? UC Davis beat Stanford? Oh, no! No! Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, yeah! UC Davis, baby. That's where son number two is going, man. Alex is on his way up there next week. Davis at Stanford. Beat them. Oh. Wow. Now, they're playing a Division I AA schedule. What's the difference between a Division I AA and a Division I A schedule? You're in Division I. You're just, what, like a small school or something? So they're going to start playing a full Division I schedule next year. So this is just a warm-up. They go to Palo Alto and wax the freaking Cardinal. You know what you cats at Stanford need to do? Seriously? Knock it off with that tree mascot and get real. What is it with you, cat? You know, see, you get all of a sudden you forget what you're doing for a living, man. You're playing a little bit of football up there, man. I remember they used to be the Stanford Indians. I understand. And they changed it to the Cardinal, which is cool. It doesn't matter. I personally agree with the whole thing about Indians. I do. People don't get it. You know, they always look at you. It's always the same thing. Wait a minute. You're a white man. Why do you care? Well, no, I'm just trying to be fair. Well, I understand that, but... Like some guy was saying to me in Atlanta when they were having that whole thing about the tomahawk chop. Of all the things to be concerned about, can you believe these Redskins are... Well, I mean, you have to understand, it's kind of an insult. Oh, come on, you know. They don't get it. They never will get it. All you American Indian folks, all the Native American people, the white man's never going to get it. And plus, there ain't enough of you to make a stink. You know, it's a majority rule country, and until they make a law saying that you can't have a name called Redskin or Chief Nakahoma or, you know, Little Squaw under $2, you know, that kind of thing, it ain't going to happen. So Davis at Palo Alto, now I know I'm making a big deal about, but this is my wife's alma mater. Maria graduated from Davis in 78. University of California, Davis. If you don't know where it is, it's in Davis. It's north of Sacramento. And it's part of the University of California system, of which UCLA is the prominent one, and UC Berkeley is the next most prominent one. And then I guess down from that, you get, what would you say, Mark? UCSD, Santa Barbara, UCSB, then San Diego. I think there's a UC San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken. There's an Irvine. There's a UC Riverside. There's a UC... you see what I see? No. There's also, do you see what I see? No, there's a bunch of them. And then there's Little Davis. It's an agricultural school, and they have good engineering department. That's why Alex is going there. And they also, believe it or not, they're famous for their school of winemaking. There's some kind of a name for that. Vintology, I think, is what it is. Not the Pearl Jam album, but that was Vitology. I don't even know if Pearl Jam knew what that meant. What's it called, Eddie? Well, I don't know. Why don't you go and have a bowel movement, Eddie, and then come back in and tell us. And anyway, so this past weekend, and everybody went up for the game. Maria said, oh, man, I wish we went up for the game. Because we had SC played. What was the final in that one? 112-0? I mean, I guess Norm Schall even ain't made much of a difference, has it? They played Arkansas. See, you get these southern schools out west playing all these West Coast queers. They figure they're going to just roll right over them, man. And then they come out here and they get spanked to the point of blood. To the point where 70-17, I think, was the score. Then UCLA kicked somebody's ass. But I didn't care about any of that. I open up the sports page on Sunday morning. You should have seen me. And I said, well, find out what the Davis score was. Yeah. I'm looking, huh? And I go back, and you know how the sports page is. They got all the college football on page one. Then you open up, and then the next page is hockey and basketball because they want you to read everything in there. So they bury all the college, you got to go back like six pages. So I'm opening up, there's hockey and basketball. Then I open up, it's NASCAR. I'm going, God, now here's the weekend, you know, the NFL preview. Finally, I get back there to the college, and then they have the regional roundup. All right, this is the East Coast. I'm looking at this Slippery Rock, you know. Then where the hell is this score? I see the West Coast scores, and I'm looking. I'm seeing Arizona State, Washington State. The reason why I didn't see it was the headline. I said, whoa! says UC Davis stuns Stanford. So that's really kind of an exciting thing for us. And I got season tickets for the Davis team, the Aggies. Jeez, what is an Aggie, by the way? Is that, I have no idea. If you're in agricultural school, you're called an Aggie. You're just a, why not just a, is that a farmer? You're an Aggie, an agricultural guy? So they, not that it has to make any sense. It's probably more racist, though, than Redskin. Probably has something to do with some guy way back. So I got the season seats. I remember calling up Davis. I said, hi, my son's going to school there next year, and I want to get season tickets. Yes, sir. Well, where would you like to have them, sir? Well, you know, 50-yard line, man. I mean, okay. And as opposed to USC, if you buy season tickets for USC and you want to get good seats, would you like to be Cardinal in gold, sir? You mean, do I want to be painted that or something? Oh, crud. No, sir. I mean, do you want to be in the Cardinal and Gold Club, which will ensure bitchin' seats, but it'll cost you 5 G's? I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, up there at UC Davis, you say, yes, I would like to have good seats. What do I got to do? Yeah, well, there's a donation of $500, sir. Oh, man, it beats the hell out of SC, so yeah. So now I got these seats, and then the guy said, I said, now he says, next season we're going to be in a big 50,000-seat stadium. They're building right over there at Miller Hall. It's going to be great. Well, that's great, man. Now, my seats this year, will I have good seats at the big stadium? Well, it's a first-come, first-served deal, and we'll see. I'll look into that, but probably. Well, let me ask you this, man. How many season ticket holders do you have for University of California Davis football? Counting you? Yeah, counting me. Okay, that's 252. I go, well, I'm set, man. That means I'm number 252 on the list. How can I go wrong? Well, you never know. You know, you... So already I'm beginning to think I'm going to get hosed somehow. Somebody, some big money farmer up there, some guy that graduated from Davis like in 1958, went on to wear a cowboy hat with a big steer horns in the front of the Cadillac, invented some way of you know, pulling oil out of the ground. I'm a Davis grad, and I'll tell you, I will always remember. Now, down where we live in Visalia, and I've got pumps going 24 hours a day. I've got them all over the place. I got them in your backyard. So this guy... He's probably going to get the dibs in the seats. But that's a beautiful thing, Davis. So a way to do it. That means that you are now, for the season, 1-2. Hey. How does it feel? Ha! They lose to, like, Northern Arkansas and Southern Utah, and then they go along at Stanford and spank them. Apparently, it was a beautiful thing. All these Davis students were there. Davis fans were there. And, like, in this little tiny corner there of the Palo Alto Stadium, and after the game, the Davis team went over and just sort of partied with them for about 5 minutes. You know, because you're talking about a place that's just solid red. And down there in the corner, these little guys with steer horns. Giga Maggies. All right, way to go, guys. So that's the big plug there for the University of California, Davis. If your kid wants to be a farmer, send him there. Or a veterinarian. Real good veterinarian school. Or, you know, like stuff like that. I guess not too sexy. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up is our flashback by request. Tonight we will talk with Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We also have Ted Bell, who's going to be checking in on the Emmys last night. And we'll give a little update on our TV show, Fillmore Middle, Matt Tarsus' TV show, of which I'm very proud to be a part. And my daughter, who was driving me nuts with these pink shoelaces this weekend. All kinds of stuff. She needed new shoes, right? These are good. These are good for school. No, wait. No, all they have to be is black. The Bane thing, black. Yeah. What about the pink shoelaces? No, they just said black. I said, I'm pretty sure I heard the teacher say black, but they got to be white. Well, you're trying to sneak one by me, man. I could tell she really wanted these shoes with the pink laces, so. All right, we'll be back here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So Detroit is just, is there a law that says the Detroit Lions must be the turd of the NFL year in and year out since, like, what, the 30s? Isn't there an old man someplace who is there with a little Detroit pennant? And he's got the 1946 fedora, and he's got his cloth coat. He's going, every year, doing every. Yeah, and he doesn't even, he's still going out to Tiger Stadium for the games. He doesn't, Oh, God, do they stink. Matt Millen, Mariucci, doesn't matter. Bears just rolled over top of them, rolled over top of them, rolled them over, and then it was just very muffled in the barracks for a few hours. All right, now it's time for our flashback, and...
What's that mean?
Why don't you just shut up? Wait till you hear this flashback, bud. This is when I fired you.
This is sad.
Not for me, it wouldn't. Here's a flashback request from Steve in Atlanta. He says, Phil, can you do a flashback to October 2002 when you fired Bud? I laughed so hard at the fact that you were firing your own voice. Thanks, Steve. Here it is, Bud, you being fired on October 31st, Halloween night, 2002.
What do you want, Bud?
I'm going to do a list now, the Halloween list.
What list?
Halloween things sound dirty.
Halloween things that sound... All right, go ahead.
Okay, everybody, here are Halloween things that sound dirty but not. I'd like to get a little something in the sack. Just get on your hands and knees and bob your head. You scared me stiff. If you just lick it, it'll last longer. She got a nice pair of pumpkins. Once you get under the sheet, start moaning. It was so full and heavy, I had to use two hands. I got the best piece from that house. There's Halloween things that sound dirty. What's wrong?
It's just, I don't know. It's not you, man.
What's wrong?
It's nothing. It's fine. It didn't strike me as all that funny.
Well, what do you mean that funny? Show me your juju bees. I'll show you my big hunk of funny stuff.
Dude, that is like morning zoo. It's like...
What's the matter?
It's morning zoo stuff.
Look, I'll make it more for your show. How about this one? Hey, Dracula, is that a steak in your pants? Or are you just happy to see me? Ha 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 ha.
No, man. Look.
I don't understand what's wrong.
Look, sit down for a minute, will you, bud?
Okay.
I've been wanting to talk to you, and I hate to do this here while I'm in the middle of the show.
What?
I don't really want you on the show anymore.
Why?
It's not working out anymore, man. I saw what happened when we were in Las Vegas. When you were on stage, it stiffed. I mean, in front of all those people, we laid the biggest egg with you.
But you do my voice.
It doesn't matter. All the more reason why I should say that you're not on the show anymore. Why would you care?
It just hurts, that's all.
Well, it may hurt, but I got to get you off the show. I got to start weeding out some of the characters that don't work on this show. You don't work, man. And it's a tough thing for me to say, and I feel bad.
But what about the backstory about how I hit my head on a tree in Ojai?
Yeah, that worked when I was in Ventura. Your name wasn't even Bud Dickman then.
What was it?
It was like Dave Del Wagon or something. Some character I came up with whose head went through a tree in Ventura. But then all of a sudden you turned into a cartoon. You sound like Froggy on that freaking Sesame Street. You're all wrong, man. You're not a very well-developed character. And I'm sorry. It's my fault, bud. My fault. It's not your fault. Don't freaking cry. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I didn't do a good job with you.
I could have been an intern for Paul Moyer.
You could have been an intern for... Well, why don't you go do it now? I'm sorry, man.
Now, I never done nothing funny.
I'm not saying that you've not done nothing funny. Yeah, you've done some funny stuff. It just... I gotta move on, man. I gotta rotate this thing. I gotta evolve this show. I gotta get out of using you as a sort of comic relief during rant hours. I gotta stand on my own two feet. That's...
Oh, so that's what this is about.
Part of it, yes. Part of it, yes. I gotta stand on my own two feet. I gotta just do this show sometimes. Now, I'm sorry.
Are you gonna eat those Wonka nerds?
And I was gonna... Here, do you want them? I thought you were all upset.
I just want to know if you're...
Take the Wonka nerds.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. What an a- See, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad. I've been meaning to do that for... Sorry.
You leaving yet?
I just want to see what you're going to say about me.
Just get out.
I've been meaning to do that, and I'm sorry I had to do it the way I did it on the air, but I need for that... I needed for that to be done.
You don't care about that R.C. Collins kid.
I changed R.C. Collins, man. He went from being a strident teenage goth freak to a military academy kid.
Then why you changed me?
There's... What are you, now back in the studio? I got done firing you. Now you're back? I can't change anything about you, man. Your voice is too weird.
Make me a real boy.
Oh, okay, Pinocchio. Whatever you say there. I can't do anything with you. I can't use you. It's like that Dr. Jim Sadler character I got. You know, he sounds like a cartoon freak, too. Can't use it, man.
You knew this when you made me. You knew the day would come.
Well, no, I didn't, man. I thought maybe you'd take... Just go.
Prick.
I'm sure... Well, Bud, you're still here, right?
Yeah, I'm here. I need a job either on account of the Dickman candy fortune.
When I saw that picture of mini Dickmans out of Germany, I thought I was going to flip or fall in it, man. What is that about? Your family has got a candy fortune that you're going to be the heir to?
Yeah.
How much?
About $500
million. Huh? What are you hanging around me for, man? Do you hear this? Mini Dickmans. It's unbelievable. All right, Ted Bell's going to join us to talk a little bit about the Emmys. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. So, you know, like you're saying, what, Friday night, Saturday night, Mark, your wife took you to the Hollywood Bowl, and then you guys went to a party. My wife says to me this. She says, now this to me is the recipe for slitting my wrists. This is a recipe for just me slitting my wrists. Does this make me a regular man? I don't know. Does this make me something wrong with me? I don't know. She said... You know my friend so-and-so?
Uh-huh.
And her husband?
Yeah.
Well, she bid at an auction on a dinner that this couple was auctioning off. You go to have the dinner at their house, and they serve you, and it'll be with two other couples that we don't even know. Let's go. What do you think? Now, if you're like me, you say, you begin to weigh in your mind, have I done anything really good for her lately? What do I owe her? Yes, okay, honey. Really? Yes. Oh, you're the greatest husband. Of course, that win you a few points. Oh, my God. So, I got all, you know, ready to go. We get in the car. She's entering it in on her little GPS. It's up here. You know, what is it about women, man? They just dig going to social events at people's houses that they only... No, like 6 degrees of separation. Well, she's the friend of a girl that I used to go to school with back when I was in kindergarten. And they get excited. So we got there. And I'm thinking, well, this is, God, how good could this be, man? It's going to be three, you know, I don't even know anybody. You know, it turned out to be one of the most fun times we ever had. First of all, a couple was having this dinner. There were a couple of Greeks from Boston. And this dude was nothing but sports. He keeps coming in with the football scores.
Who wants to know the Stanford score?
I do.
Okay, it's this and that. What do you want?
Notre Dame.
Okay, I'll go.
He come back in. Then we talk baseball. The food was phenomenal. They were a couple of Greek folks, and he cooked great. He mixes stuff himself, so that was great. Then I don't like to drink red wine, but he had a bottle of red wine that was great. The company was great. You know what I'm saying? In other words, sometimes life surprises you, bud. Sometimes you get a big surprise.
Where?
What do you mean, where? What's that supposed to mean?
Well,
look, why don't you take your box of mini Dickmans and go? Just don't darken my freaking sheets again, man. All right, 1-800. So it was kind of a cool thing. Hey, there's President, what's his name, Clinton? Now he's on TV and he's trying to raise money for hurricane relief. Hey, how do we know all this bread's getting where it's going? Remember Red Cross and 9/11? You know how MoveOn.org is raising money? Where's that? How do we know that bread's getting anywhere? I guess it doesn't matter. If you want to give your money to somebody and you don't care whether it gets to the people or not, go ahead and donate as much as you want to anybody that you want. Me, I've learned my lesson, man. I through Hands Across Africa and Hands Under America and the whole thing and 9/11, I'm taking the dough down there myself in pennies. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got this thing. I'm at moveon.org, okay? They got a thing. Hurricanehousing.org. Over 250,000 spaces offered. All right. So people are donating beds. Bed space. 266,187 beds volunteered so far. All right. That's for that. That pretty much sums up what MoveOn.org is doing for the hurricane victims. Now, when I look over to say, well, they are asking for money, and when you look to see what they ask for the money for, it's to put television ads on the air. Come on, man. You got to be, seriously, I don't care what your political persuasion is, you got to be a chump to help some cat pay for his own TV ad. You've got to be chumped out. You got to be fully chumped, extended out on the chump, you know, on the chumpometer. By a factor of 10. Please help us put a TV ad on the air. Send us your money. Hey, man. And then down at the bottom here, it says, because of oversubscription or for other unforeseen reasons, it's our policy to use your contribution for other advertising, public relations, advocacy, or organizing activities. I don't see anywhere where they're doing anything other than raise bread for TV ads. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's not just them. It's anybody, folks. Understand that what happened in 9/11, the American Red Cross, when he took all that bread and we thought it was going to go to those people in New York, and it turned out that it was going to go to, you know, their emergency fund for other emergencies, that's not what we wanted to do. So you got to find out, where's the bread going? How is it getting disseminated? How is it getting spent? Who's it, you know, who's in charge of it? Is Bud, if it says Bud Dickman is in charge of the money, all right, now you have some questions.
Well, I'd do better than they do.
Sure you would, man. Sure you would. You put another $15 million into the Mini Dickman Fund. And that's all I'm trying to say. All right, enough. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell joins us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. How are you tonight, Ted?
Well, I'm doing very, very well. I was wondering if you watched the Emmys last night, because it was a wonderful night for traditional television. It also, of course, some of the people that we love on television, everybody loves Raymond and those programs. Did you watch it?
No, I missed it.
You didn't watch the Emmys?
No, I missed it. I'll tell you why. My wife and kids were watching it, but I was outside reading.
You were outside, you were doing what? I'm sorry?
I was outside reading. It's not, you know.
You didn't watch the Emmys, you were outside reading. Okay, now what does that mean? You had a patio? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, I was sitting on a patio, I was reading.
What were you reading?
Wait a minute, what is this?
No, I just want to ask this question, Phil. First of all, you understand that I'm Ted Bell, and I don't mean... I'm Ted Bell, Phil. I've got a restaurant here in Beverly Hills. I talked to a lot of the movers. What were you doing last night? You were reading? So in other words, you got a television program that you have been hired to play one of the principal characters in that's going to be going on the air on NBC as a mid-season replacement, and you didn't watch the Emmys. Is that it?
Well, I mean, what are you saying?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm saying. You kill me, Phil. You're on the air, okay? You are going to be on a television. You didn't watch the Emmys, okay? Well, you know what I got to do? I got to look back in the bowl, Phil, before I pull the chain on that one, just to make sure it's floating. Are you trying to?
What's the problem, man? I didn't watch the Emmys, okay?
Well, you're blowing it. That's it. You're blowing it. Do you understand?
Ted, how am I?
Do you understand that you have a golden opportunity? Now, I talked to Bill Chaseman. You know who he is, don't you?
Yeah, I know Bill.
Okay, I talked to him. I said, this kid, watch him. Watch Hendry with the new show. He's funny. He's great. It's going to be great. Sarah Alexander, Justin Vartha, the whole damn thing is going to be fantastic. Okay, he was in. He was having a Ted. He'd had a tough day. I said, here, let me get you a Ted. So I poured him a Captain Morgan's and Coke. I said, here you go. I put a little red currant in it. Yeah, here you go. It's a Ted with a little Shirley Temple on top, you know? In other words, it's me with Shirley Temple on top of me. Now,
all right. So what's your point?
My point is this. If you're going to be a part of Hollywood, you got
to... I meant to watch the Emmys. My wife was going to watch it.
Did you see Ellen DeGeneres? She was in a very smart suit. Very nice-looking suit.
No, yeah, I heard her, and I heard everybody laughing. I don't know why I didn't watch the Emmys. I should have watched the Emmys. I should.
You better believe you should have watched the. Let me tell you which side of the bread the butter's on. Okay, let's tell you. I just want to tell you how things work around here. Number one, you are going to be expected to, forget it. I'm just so depressed.
Look it. I didn't see them, but I heard that they were fun. My wife...
Your wife enjoy them?
Actually, she didn't finish watching them. She was bored.
Bored? Let me tell you something. You are blowing it. Every time you come on the air, you act like your stuff doesn't smell. You act like when you look back in the bowl, there's no scent coming from it.
Well, can we just stick to the point here? What is it that you're trying to say to me?
I'm telling you, you got to play ball a little bit. I know a lot of people in this town, and there's been a lot of strings pulled for you. A lot of people have been stretched over the rack for you. A lot of people have lost a lot of money. A lot of people have lost big chunks of their reputation going to bat for you.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm telling you, in order for you to get to where you are today, there's a lot of people still holding a rag to their rear end. And I can tell you, Phil, that until you show some appreciation, you come back into my restaurant, you're never going to hear these words again and say, Phil, why don't you go ahead and have a seat at the end of the bar and get you Ted? You're never going to hear those words.
I don't care. I think your Teds suck.
Well, you ungrateful scum. My Teds suck?
What? Who cares about a Captain Morgan's and Coke? You didn't invent that drink. I've been drinking that since I was 10.
You drunk?
Come on in for a Ted. I invented it. What is it, rum and Coke? I didn't watch the Emmys. I apologize for that. I was gonna, but I got wrapped up in this book about Nazis. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm totally with everything that gives me joy now has something to do with Nazis. Everything that relaxes me, everything that puts a smile on my face. You know, just be out, it's a nice day today, yeah, pour myself a little Diet Coke, huh, squeeze a lemon in that baby, put the shades on, sit out on the chaise lounge, and dig right into a book on Nazis. What's that about? I'll have to look into it. All right, coming up, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I think we're also expecting a visit from Vernon Dozier. He may be with us tomorrow night. Mr. Dozier's had a... He's going to be the Grand Marshal at the old sheriff days in Glendale, where he's been growing a handlebar mustache for the last 25 years. And if you know anything about guys with handlebar mustaches, one of the things they don't do is shave them off. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police in just a moment. Some kind of a survey or one of these very odd surveys having to do with teenage sex. You know, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I think it's only necessary to know whether or not your kids are experimenting with sex. I don't need to know the particulars. Do you? I mean, what is that going to do? I mean, in other words, what? Look, either they're having sex or they're not. Teenage girls are engaging more in bisexual sex than ever before. It's almost like I'm watching Bill O'Reilly with that lascivious, saliva-ridden upper lip of his. It's sort of, he's always kind of wiping his lip like, you know those guys in the old westerns when they'd look at a real hot woman going down the street that kind of wipe their mouth? But they, you know, like, man, will you look at that? You know, and they kind of just drag their wrist across their face. Man, that'd make a man's palm sweat. You know, just rah. And O'Reilly's the same way. We have tonight Mrs. Mary Brown. She tells us the teenage girls are involved in lesbian sex. And then, you know, wipes his freaking mouth. God, you know, I'm telling you, it's perverted. I don't know who's sicker, the kids or the freaking people that are doing these studies. More and more teenage girls are involved in lesbian sex. What do you think of that? That's fine, man. You know, I don't need that detail. And they're purchasing odd, kinky sexual devices. It's only important, man, to know whether or not, you know, are they doing it and why, you know, is there a need for affection and love and, you know, what are they not getting at home? All that stuff. You know, I don't need to know. Because automatically, what's the thought? You know, the thought is, why, we aren't just failing our children. You thought we were just failures as parents, didn't you? Well, no, it's much worse than that, because now they're dykes! You see, you thought you were just an abysmal, rotten, crawling failure as a parent when it came to your children being abstinent from sex. No. It's not even as good as that. Because you see, not only is your daughter having sex, she's having it with another girl. You know, and it So Jay, he's all freaked out about it. He's going to do something about it in the way that only Jay can. Here's a great email. It's from Jake Torsett. Jake writes, Phil, you mentioned that you wanted to hear about an accident or death from listening to your show. Well, I was listening to your show over the... Because I asked, I'd love to know whether anybody actually, they said I laughed so hard I had to pull off to the side of the road. Did anybody laugh so hard that their car crashed? He says, well, I was listening to your show over the summer and I was torching some parts on my truck in the garage. Thanks to you, Father McQuarters, and the mongoloid bit, I laughed so hard I torched my leg. I managed to make it through 3 major conflicts without a scratch in the 1990s while serving in the Army, but thanks to you, I have a 3-inch scar on my leg that looks like a turd. Thanks, you son of a bitch. P.S., you're the funniest mofo in my life. Take it easy, Jake. Thanks so much, Jake. We got to have a prize for somebody that can prove it. Yes, I injured myself by listening to the Phil Hendry Show, and here's a photograph of the scar. A doctor's testimonial. Here's some show ideas from some people. It's very nice of you guys to send the show ideas in. I rarely am able to read all of them. And yes, I've gotten the Black People Love Us website. Oh, God. That was like 3 years ago. Somebody keeps sending me that one. You should check it out. It's kind of funny. Black People Love Us. And here's one. Phil, how are you? I'm one of those kids serving in Iraq. I'm a tank commander in cavalry unit. This is my second tour. I just came home to California for 2 weeks R&R, and I've noticed a change in people's attitudes towards the war. Mostly apathy and indifference. F 'em. We'll still do the job over there that needs to be done. The first time I came back from Iraq, I went down to Zihuatanejo for a week with my girlfriend, stayed right on the beach at Los Gatos at the Via Mexicana. Mentioned it because I've heard you talk about it on the show. What a great place. Caught some fine mahi-mahi there. Anyway, just wanted to tell you how much I like your show. I download it when I can. Our internet connection over there is pretty slow and unreliable. Have some great pics from Iraq I would email you, but couldn't figure out how to attach them to this email format. Oh, yeah, I'm a map freak, too. And that's, are you familiar with GIF mapping? CDS, U.S. Army. You can send them to us, man. I don't think the attachments get washed out. We get a lot of pictures from people all over the world. So if you've got some pics from Iraq, we want to see them. If you have pictures from Iraq showing dead rag heads. I'm just kidding about that. Some, let's say, action photos. We'd love to see him. 1-800-449-8686. Back with Jay Santos.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.